He has a certain vision, and it's not exactly our vision, but it's a lot closer than it was a year ago. And I think, you know, eventually we'll get there. But for this particular visit, we decided that we had to walk, and we'll see what happens.
8:20, President Donald Trump speaking about Chairman Kim Jong-un's status, I suppose you could say, on denuclearization, given that he's closer but not close enough. David Kim, former White House official and State Department East Asia non-proliferation official, joins us from the D.C.-based think tank, the Stimson Center. Thank you also for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be with you.
I wonder what your thoughts are on President Trump's comments. It is, to me, a little bit difficult to view this in shades of grey, because either you're willing to denuclearize or you're not, in a sense.
No, I think that's a maximalist position. I think we have to really keep in mind that this is a long-term process. We saw the 1994 agreed framework, and the six-party talks take years and years to get to an agreement. I think this is going to take even longer, given the number of nuclear facilities and arsenal that North Korea currently maintains. So I think we have to think of this in the long term, even outside of the Trump presidency, how we're going to continue piecemeal by piecemeal getting towards a path towards denuclearization. I think we start with a partial declaration, a partial path towards ultimate denuclearization, but again, this is not going to happen in one meeting.
What about the argument, though, that this is a unique moment that North Korea perhaps senses it can get somewhere with President Trump when it wasn't nearly as happy, it seems, to negotiate with President Barack Obama?
It's new because they're both new leaders. Again, you have to remember that Kim Jong-un survived Barack Obama, he survived President Moon. He was there before both leaders. We have a new set of actors, and I think President Trump has built trust with Kim Jong-un. Recently, just a few minutes ago, KCNA, the official propaganda machine of North Korea, came out with a statement saying that the talks were productive and that there's going to be a promised meeting, a third meeting coming up. So if you put this in context, it means that both leaders are trying to establish the first clause of the Singapore statement, which is to establish new USDPRK relations.
And it certainly makes sense what you're saying about this being a long game. But on the other hand, we have this very different version of events. And we're asking all our guests this morning where they stand on that. What rings true for you? This idea that North Korea has come out and asked for all sanctions to be lifted, according to President Trump himself. On the other hand, he says that Chairman Kim's stance changed since Singapore. It's hard to believe that entirely if they're still pushing for full sanctions relief.
No, President Trump would not have gone to Hanoi, and neither would Chairman Kim. Both leaders would not have gone if a deal either wasn't close or agreed to in advance, having worked on these kinds of negotiations in the past. You know, it's a very intricate process. The X factor is President Trump, and I think he might have wanted a more of a deal. Somebody could have whispered in his ear, like a John Bolton, saying that, hey, we should get additional things like chemical or biological weapons, or just things that maybe the North Koreans had not agreed to before. Trump is saying that Kim Jong-un asked for more sanctions. We know now that the UN Security Council resolution sanctions that were really the ones that brought Kim Jong-un to the table, and which is keeping maximum pressure in place. And so I think that we have to be mindful that both sides have to negotiate something. And I think both sides are trying to listen. But, you know, no deal is better than a bad deal. And he had to walk away. And I think there's going to be now promises of a third summit.
Do you really believe that's going to happen, a third summit? I mean, President Trump may be open to it, I don't know. But Chairman Kim Jong-un himself said it was painstaking, the process to get to Hanoi. And maybe they'll both, in a sense, feel burned by their lack of outcome. Despite, again, I think you're being extremely reasonable and you're speaking a lot of sense, but I'm just worried about the personalities involved here.
I'm not too worried. The worst outcome is we get to fire in Siri like we did in 2017. I think the prospects of that are low because of the incentive that both leaders have to come to the table and establish new relations. And I think we just have to keep in mind that, you know, President Trump wants to win another election. Kim Jong-un has a new strategic line, wants to improve his economy. He needs sanctions relief. And so these bargaining chips for both of leaders, are bringing them to the table and will keep them at the table. And I think that, his statement today on KCNA, it's very positive. If you read what KCNA says, they spin the meeting as a productive meeting, and I think that is an indication that he's saying to his people, look, we are establishing what we said we would do in Singapore, and that's to build trust and continue dialogue with the United States.
Okay, so aside from the fire and fury possibility, and clearly they both did want to break through, in the sense that they've both been willing to go through the hoops to travel to Hanoi, President Trump's 2020 election bid, many would argue, does not hinge on what happens with North Korea, i.e. the wall would be perhaps more influential upon his base, the border wall with Mexico. From North Korea's side, I'm sure Chairman Kim does want economic growth, but he's looking quite well in himself, well-fed sufficiently. He's got, by all accounts, extreme level of control over his people, unwilling to talk about human rights. Maybe he can just keep that show rolling for now.
Yeah, I think, the North Koreans understand the United States better than we understand the North Koreans. And Kim Jong-un is going to be watching really towards 2020 to see how this may swing. If we do get a Democrat in office, though, we have to remember the Democrat is still going to have to deal with this issue. And just the way that President Obama dealt with strategic patience, which set the groundwork for maximum pressure, I think we have to keep in mind that this is going to outlive his presidency. Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican that comes in next, or he maintains his office, he's still going to be faced with the same issue. So we're looking at at least a 10-year window, and in the next 2 years, a lot can happen, but I think it'll be positive.
David Kim, former White House official, now of the Simpson Center, thank you. Really good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's all very intriguing, isn't it? One thing I can tell you, it might be a Democrat in power next. The Republicans will not forget this moment when there was this Democrat attempt to undermine the summit with this Michael Cohen business. That will not be forgotten. This Morning continues next.